Greetings, everybody. It's Tabitha. Welcome back to White Wellness. Today, August 17th, 2021. And that song right there was Jamiroquai with Virtual Insanity way back in 1996. I thought that was an appropriate song, given that it feels like we live in some type of virtual insanity. The VR world is melding with the natural world, especially for a lot of people who are believing in, well, PSYOP upon PSYOP upon PSYOP. That's all it's pretty much been. I've not been following too much of what's been going on because it's just all kosher theater, especially the stuff with the pandemic. But it's escalating, unfortunately. A lot of parts of the world, it's actually escalating even worse than it is here in America. So today, the show is going to be called The Now Age, as opposed to the New Age or the Neutering Age, The Now Age, about focusing on the now, as opposed to maybe living in the past or living in the future. So easy to do that, right? Especially with all the fear porn that always is happening all the time, emanating from the Talmudic system 24/7. So the now age, how can we be here now, right? That makes me think of that book written back in 1971, Be Here Now, which was kind of like a hippie Bible of some sort. I've got the original one back from 1971. The price was 333. Must be Masonic, right? Anywho, it's this book that has a lot of stuff in it that can definitely be said to be Aryan spirituality. Of course, it was written by Ram Dass, who's not Aryan and not white, but interesting book. And the gist of this book is to be here now, right? And how much are we always told to be somewhere now? What about being here right now, right? What a thought that is. So to start out today's broadcast, I got a kind of a hodgepodge bit of stuff to talk about. And as I talk about these things, I'm going to weave in the narrative of being here now, because there are so many things out there that are trying to take our focus away from just being here now, right? Think about that line that I spoke of last week in last week's broadcast in the movie Brave New World, where they didn't even stop to smell the roses anymore because it just took up too much time. They couldn't be producing or consuming, right? But that's what being here now is all about, smelling the roses. And oftentimes the more here you are in the now, the easier it is to comprehend what's happening in the now. So I want to read a little bit from this book of spells. It's Witch's Planner, which I read from, I guess it was 2 weeks ago when I talked about Lammas, or that was last week. That was last week, actually. Yeah, I think it was. Well, anyway, I want to talk a little bit about blackberries, which are very much in season right now, at least in my area. A little bit about blackberries, as well as a little bit of their European roots. The magical blackberry, also known as bramble, cloudberry, and goutberry, sacred to the goddesses Brigid and Dagda. The name in Ogham is Muin. And what are some of the magical aspects or utilizations of the blackberry? Communication, grounding, healing, prosperity, protection, purification, connecting with the spirits, and wealth. All great stuff, and all great stuff to be focusing on now, especially as all these psyops are happening over and over and over again. I think it's thinning the aura of a lot of people, actually. And I think that's part of it, because they really want you to become as disembodied as possible, right? So you'll believe any of the Zog stuff out there, right? As a member of the rose family, blackberry is a highly valued sacred herb of the Celts. Its Celtic name, Muin, is likely to have three meanings or associations, one being cunning, the second being love or esteem, and the third being deception. The Celts seemingly have an affinity for trinities. Blackberry is also associated with the, quote, path of the voice, and is linked to prophetic speech and connecting with the other world and the fairies. The thorns of the blackberry are curved and sharp, making this plant highly effective in protection magic. Some believe that when you walk by a blackberry vine with sharp thorns, negative energy is cleansed from the body as it is caught by the thorns and pulled away. Grow blackberry near the entrances or the perimeter of your home to protect your property from unwanted visitors and energies. You may also grow blackberries into an arch, creating a magical doorway that also acts as a magical barrier to your sacred space. When the vines are new and before they begin to bear fruit, you can walk through this doorway to infuse your intentions and rituals with renewing springtime energy. As the vines bear fruit, walk through it to infuse yourself with prosperous energy. In the fall, you can use this doorway to help settle your energy as you walk toward connecting with the Fae, the spirits and other energies often concealed by the veil. And of course, the veil being the thinnest on Samhain, aka Halloween, 1031, October 31st. That is when the veil is supposedly the thinnest between this world and the other world. So some groovy information there about blackberries. Oftentimes they don't get as much play as strawberries or raspberries or blueberries, but they are tasty in their own right, and they have a really beautiful color as well, that deep kind of purplishly blue color. And if you don't do so well with the seeds because of the fiber, oftentimes the seeds of these berries, as luscious as they are, the seeds can be rather fibrous and a bit hard on the digestive tract. You could always make something where you just pass it through a sieve or a strainer and you get rid of the seeds, or you could get a jam or make yourself a jam or something like that. So many ways to enjoy it. Oftentimes blackberries are nice as a sauce that you'd like do with like a chicken or like a roast. Oftentimes in Europe, if you look before we had things like potatoes, which of course are a crop of America, of South America, not native to Europe, albeit it took a big hold in many of the European countries, especially in the British Isles and parts of Eastern Europe and things like that. But originally we would do the meats and sweets type of thing. So we'd have our meat, and then to make sure we got our carbohydrates, we'd have cooked fruit or cooked fruit sauces and stuff like that. Think of cranberry sauce and turkey, lamb and mint jelly, chicken with like apricot sauce, or even like a sweet and sour chicken. So there's so many dishes out there, also in other cultures as well. But it's interesting to note that we do have a history of using these things like jams and fruits and sweets with meat, and blackberry could definitely be something that would make a good sauce to go with meat. Sounds kind of wild, but I think it would actually be kind of tasty. Or you could just go more of a traditional route and make yourself like a blackberry cooler. You could mix like a puree of it with a bunch of water and a little bit of sweetener and maybe some mint leaves or basil and make yourself a beverage like that, a little bit of lemon or lime juice. You could use it in muffins and make like blackberry muffins. Of course, that would be using the actual whole berry. You could make ice cream with it. You can make pie with it. There's a lot of things you can do with it, but just something to be aware of, that they are one of those berries that does tend to be peak in August, as opposed to something like strawberries, which are really peak in April and May, and then blueberries and raspberries come after that. But this is really the month of the blackberry, the magical blackberry, the bramble, the cloudberry, or the goutberry. So pretty groovy stuff right there. Always nice to have a little bit of something palatable like that, especially with some of the, well, unsavory things that are going on in the world. So I'm going to talk about a couple of things that I found in the Weston A. Price Quarterly Magazine. And this has to do with just, well, some zoggy zog stuff, just like more zoggy stuff in the vein of nutrition and the medical world. If things weren't zoggy enough, things are getting, well, a touch zoggier. So here is something that I have, and this is about, well, again, something I've talked about, but has to be talked about again, is the estrogenic effects of soy. Yes, soy, something that I've spent time talking about. And remember, it's not just not eating soy. It's making sure that the food you eat doesn't eat soy. So if you're eating the CAFO meat, the concentrated animal feeding operation meat, that meat is being fed soy, corn, wheat, possibly all GMO, sprayed with glyphosate. One of the reasons nowadays people are so large, besides just the low quality food and the wrong types of food, is that everything is tainted with glyphosate, and that's messing up their digestion. It's responsible for a lot of medical problems, actually. So here's some really shocking information about the farmed fish industry and how this relates to soy and estrogen. And we just have to look at around and just take a little slice of society to see how estrogen has affected humanity. So here is this article, Soy Alert: Soy's Estrogenic Effects. An Alert member recently sent us two studies on soy, one from this year and one from 2004, both of which we had missed. Both reveal the estrogenic dangers of the toxic bean. The 2021 paper comes from Japan, where a team of researchers administered soy isoflavones, those are the estrogenic compounds of the soy, to baby catfish, and succeeded in making them 100% female. So they're trannifying people, whether people want to become trannies or not, right? So how creepy is this, how they give the estrogenic component of the soy to these baby catfishes, and then it renders them female? It's like that, the frogs with the atrazine pesticide, they were becoming female as well. Researchers have been able to turn male catfish into females by administering female hormones. Well, that's like what trannies do. But this method is banned for fish for human consumption. Soy isoflavones have the same effect and apparently can be used legally. The fish farming industry prefers female catfish because they grow faster, to a weight of 600 grams, about 1 1/3 pounds, in 6 to 10 months after hatching. The males grow much more slowly. So of course, it's always about profit. Lead researcher Tosha Hina O Inino thinks using soy female hormones for the fish destined for human consumption is a great idea. By making them all female, production efficiency rises. This can be applied to other farm-raised fish whose females are more valuable. It's pretty mind-boggling. The team intends to work on making sturgeons, the fish that produce caviar, using female soybean isoflavone as well. So, of course, always best to get wild fish. Of course, you want to make sure you're getting it from an area that's not completely contaminated. This is just a real catch-22 with all this stuff that's going on in regards to seafood. Either they farm it in a really despicable manner like this, or it's coming from the water and then the water is polluted, and the water is way more polluted now than it was even a year or two ago because of all the costumes, all the Oyedei ritual props, you know, the chat feed bag, the gloves, the visor. I mean, there was really not a plastic issue in the 50s, like just going back about 70 years ago, not really that long when you think about the whole scheme of just being alive in this planet and everything, not that long ago. I mean, the world has been really just polluted with plastic, which of course is estrogenic. The article goes on to say the 2004 study titled Increased Aggressive Behavior and Decreased Affiliative Behavior in Adult Male Monkeys After Long-Term Consumption of a Diet Rich in Soy Protein and Isoflavones comes from the journal Hormones and Behavior. It found that monkeys, and just think about humans in the same context, fed a diet high in soy isoflavones became aggressive loners. Sounds like kind of like the archetype that Zog is looking to socially engineer or cultivate, doesn't it? The official explanation, estrogen produced by aromatization of gonadal and androgen has an important facilitative role in male typical aggressive behavior that is mediated through its interaction with estrogen receptors, ER, in the brain. Isoflavones found in soybeans and soy-based dietary supplements bind ER and have dose and tissue-dependent effects on estrogen-mediated responses. The estrogenic isoflavones did not make the monkeys nicer, as he might have expected. Instead, diets with high levels of isoflavones made the monkeys both more aggressive and submissive. And that kind of reminds me of that soy meme that's passed all around, you know, like the anti-social medias of that sketch of that guy who's always so amazed at something that's like so antithetical to nature and then disgusted by something that's like very natural. Aggressive and submissive. A lot of people, high serotonin Zogbots, are aggressive and submissive. They love authority and they submit to authority, yet there's something aggressive about them as well. In addition, the high proportion of time spent by monkeys on the high isoflavone diets in physical contact with other monkeys was reduced by 68%, social isolation. Time spent in proximity to other monkeys was reduced 50%, and time spent alone was increased 30%. The researchers said, the results indicate that long-term consumption of a diet rich in soy isoflavones can have marked influences on patterns of aggressive and social behavior. Well, no shit, of course. It messes with people's hormones. The implications of this study should give everyone pause. Today's young people typically ingest large amounts of isoflavones from industrial foods. And remember, all these fried things are usually set in soybean oil. And I don't even have to mention this, but I will. Soybeans, of course, and soybean oil are extremely thyroid suppressive and anti-metabolic. And all of these fast foods and these snacking foods, most of the time it's soybean oil. Sometimes it's canola oil. Soy protein is also added to many foods. You wouldn't even think it. Hamburger mix typically will have soy protein as well as a host of soy additives. If you're given soy formula as a youngster, you will receive the estrogenic imprint very early in life. I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing higher incidences of things like gynecomastia when men grow breasts. And if they have eaten these tranny meats, of course, I've talked about this ad nauseum on the broadcast, the Impossible Burgers, the Beyond Meat, and if they also eat other types of tranny meats, tranny cheeses, etc. And even if they're not doing the trans meat, if they're just doing regular, just factory farmed, battery farmed CAFO meat, those animals are fed on soy. So CAFO, meat, eggs, fish, dairy, you know, all that stuff, they're being fed on a soy diet. So that's one of the reasons it's so important to eat just the good meats, you know? I mean, just eat less or just buy the cheaper cuts. You know, you don't have to have the fanciest cut every single night. You can buy a more affordable cut. I don't have to, like I said, don't have to buy like filet mignon or something like that, but creepy. And this could be getting into anyone's diet, regardless of what they're eating, unless they are vigilant about making sure that they don't eat these foods and that their food doesn't eat these foods. But we're definitely probably going to see an increase of people who have this aggressive, submissive personality, this high serotonin personality. I wouldn't be surprised. These people also are just submissive enough to bow to Zog, but just aggressive enough to give people who don't a hard time. And that's exactly what the type of slave that Zog wants. Gross, creepy stuff with all this soy stuff. They're tranifying society. You know, if people don't want to go in to see Dr. Z and get their, you know, crotch cut up, they're going to get it to them via these quote foods, you know. So Zog is always working on something. That's why it's important to be here now, to focus on what's going on, not get sidelined by all the diversions, because there's so many diversions out there. Nonstop, 24/7. Okay, another article for this show called The Now Age is something about Alzheimer's disease, and it's not good news. I believe from the research that I've done, that is a disease that is caused by buildup of estrogen, buildup of iron, buildup of polyunsaturated fats, things like that, and that leads to basically losing one's mind. But now, Zog, of course, Zog's not going to come out and say something like that's never going to happen, because remember, allopathy is a business, it's dis-ease management. So now they want to treat Alzheimer's the same way they've been doing it with cancer, like saying, oh, so-and-so in your family had it, you might get it. You should just start doing this just in case. So here's the ultimate Zog insurance snare via the allopathy system shitstem. So here is a little bit about this, a breakthrough for Alzheimer's. The approval in June of aducanumab, the first Alzheimer's medication that could slow progress of the disease, was hailed as a hopeful moment. But experts warned it was just a step in that effort and by far from a final victory over the dis-ease. Biogen's drug, which will go by the brand name Aduhelm, was approved by the FDA on the condition that the company continues studies to prove it works to break up the sticky plaques of protein in the brain associated with Alzheimer's. Scientists believe this could slow the dis-ease but not reverse it, and there, of course, Zog allopathy, remember, allopathy, other, suffering, allo, other, pathos, like passion, suffering. So here they are, making people suffer in a different way because they know what's causing it, but they're not going to tell you to stop doing what causes it, because that's the reason that people need their treatment anyway, is because they follow their sad diet. And of course, these sticky plaques in the brain, this is all the lipids, all these anti-metabolic inflammatory lipids, which most people who grew up in industrial society ate copious amounts of. Oh, and I should add that those ketotic diets that are very low or zero carbohydrate, what that does is, yeah, you can get lean on those diets, and it's usually a temporary and a quick type of lean. But what happens is all those free fatty acids are liberated from your tissues because they've been stored in your tissues, because just because you don't eat something now doesn't mean your body still doesn't have it inside of it. So when you go into these low carbohydrate diets and do these ketotic diets, whether or not you get into that ketotic state, just the stress on the body of doing all that low carbohydrate consumption will liberate these free fatty acids from your tissues into your bloodstream, and that's a double dose of inflammation. So that's why if you're looking to pull these industrialized lipids, these plastic fats out of your tissues, you want to do it and make sure you eat enough, especially enough carbohydrates, even if that causes you to put on a bit of detoxing weight to basically shed that once you've recycled it, as opposed to just getting really lean and the fatty acids having nowhere to really liberate to. It just has to go into the bloodstream. Not a good thing. But of course, in this Zog culture, everyone's always obsessed with, you know, working out as much as they can, eating as little as they can, you know, whatever is trending in the Zog world. But remember, these things are trending now so they can sell you Alzheimer's treatments later. There's a reason why things are trending, right? Things are trending because they want it to become your lifestyle, essentially, or have you break down from it. It's all a snare. It's all a psyop. Back to the article. It wasn't immediately clear if Medicare or private insurance companies would pay for the drug, this Alzheimer's drug, priced at $56,000 for a year of therapy, yowza. Still, for millions of Americans with early stage Alzheimer's, the approval signifies the beginning of a new future, says the chief pogrom officer for the Alzheimer's Association. And of course, what if they just tell you, like they put the spell on you, you know, the diagnosis, you know, on you, and just tell you like, oh, by the way, you've got this, you know, and then you've got to go on this drug. And then it's almost like they're creating your own reality for you. It's very much what's happening with 8AI right now. They're creating reality for people. It's a VR experience. It's almost like it's a video game to an extent. And then everyone else who's not playing it, but has to LARP to an extent to still exist in industrial society, is like, what the fuck's going on? But questions remain. Late last year, the FDA advisory board said the clinical trials on the drug were inconclusive. After one test, people using the drug were found to be able to perform better at daily activities and showed better memory improvement. A second test, however, had fewer positive outcomes. Three members of the advisory panel had resigned to protest the approval at press time. I mean, diet can do a lot to really help with getting those toxic plastic fats out of your diet. The younger you are, the easier it is to start, right? I mean, if you're listening to this and you're, I don't know, maybe in your teens or your 20s or something like that, fantastic. Do it now, right? Do it now. I mean, you can still do it if you're older, but it's always good to be able to do these things when you're younger, when it's easier to detox as opposed to when you get older. Typically, the longer you spend on this planet, the more toxic you're going to become. So here were some of the other concerns that this drug, that remember, only slows the dis-ease. It doesn't reverse it or cure it, because that's how Big Zog works. Only about a third of the 6 million Americans with Alzheimer's, that's a funny number, show evidence of the plaques the drug attacks. So not everyone they tell them and give them the diagnosis actually even has these plaques. The drug does not come with a pill. It is administered IV, intravenously, every 4 weeks, so it's an injection. And side effects can include temporary swelling of the brain. That sounds like it causes inflammation, doesn't it? Even though Alzheimer's, of course, is a disease of extreme inflammation. So why would a, quote, treatment do the same thing that the disease is supposedly doing? It doesn't really make much sense now, does it? And then someone else is saying, for a woman who's 56 years old, who is supposedly dealing with an Alzheimer's precursor, she said the approval brings hope. And then again, what does that mean, precursor? Is that someone whose diet has just been in the trash for like 40 and 50 years and now they're losing their mind because of it? I mean, the diet they promote, make no mistake, it causes brain damage, it causes depression, it causes you to lose your mind. Like, there's a reason they promote it. Like, there's a reason they promote like 20 to 60 different diets out there to snare you. What it really comes down to is making sure you eat enough of the macronutrients, enough lipids, enough carbohydrates, enough protein, making sure you get the right forms of that. And that takes quite a bit of navigating, and also making sure you have the right quality. So it's the right ratio, right? It's the right type, and it's the right quality. And also, of course, that comes with, you know, vitamins and minerals and so on and so forth. But there is so much foul information out there. But people are literally losing their minds because of what they're eating. And how can you be here now when your mind is just somewhere else, right? It's got to be pretty hard. I mean, I think the reason they've been so successful or somewhat successful with this vaccination pogrom is because a lot of people are brain damaged from the diet that Big Z has been promoting for so long. And they're disembodied, you know, and they'll just do whatever. Like, you really can't be a spiritually well person to think that getting a vaccination would ever be a good idea, regardless of OED, especially because of this. I mean, wow, it's just, it's mind-boggling to me. But Yeah, it's just crazy. Like, I kind of like, I guess if someone believed in the PSYOP, maybe like last April, May, like I'd be like, oh, okay, now you see it. Okay, great. But if someone's like still thinks this is like a thing, I mean, wow. I mean, it's incredible, right? It's almost like takes your breath away. It's so incredible. All right. So what else do I have for the broadcast today? A couple of more things. That actually was from the AARP, that second article, not the soy one, but the one about Alzheimer's was from the AARP magazine. There's so much zogwash in there for older people. I get to see, like, based on what magazine I read, like, how they really are trying to brain poison women, how they're trying to brain poison the elderly. Like, there's always some agenda, you know? Oh, and I also was noticing this, if these stats are true, who knows, but supposedly the group here in America, although not the largest group, that got the most amount of vaccinations was supposedly the Asian population, but that makes sense because they've already been through other PSYOPs like avian flu and swine flu, and they tend to follow the orders and deal with the authoritarian thing like with more ease than other races. And interestingly enough, it was Blacks who were the least likely to get the vaccination, the 8-AI vaccination. But you know what? Maybe I was thinking that they think, because of all the Jews media out there and stuff, maybe they think that all of this talk about the system being white supremacy, maybe they think that, you know, Western medicine's trying to kill them or something, you know, because of that. So, hey, whatever it takes to avoid it. But it'll be interesting seeing how this backfires in Zog's face when they start claiming that Black people can't get into places because they don't have a vaccine passport, and they can basically say, oh, that's racist, it's discrimination against me, and they can turn it into a race narrative, even though it's a vaccination narrative. So I hope it blows up like a Molotov in Zog's face. And here's actually a piece I wanted to read about being here now. I found this poem in one of the neutering age publications that I read. Occasionally there's a jewel in there. I mean, it's a lot of zogwash that I just kind of gloss over. I've been familiar with the new age variety of zogwash for probably my whole life, more than other forms of zoggery. I think the counterculture has always been the area of zoggery that I was most familiar with. I kind of basically eschewed the mainstream since my existence, but I kind of fell into some of the counterculture thinking it was the flip side of the, you know, the main culture, and thinking like, oh, this may be the answer, when realizing now there are a lot of snares in there, obviously, of course, because Zog plays both sides. So here's a poem about being here now. It's called Can't You See? All the time you have been searching for the answer, and here it is. Noticing the fun and joy that exists in your day leads to more joyful times coming your way. Recognizing you have events to feel grateful for in the moment leads to more events you appreciate. Acknowledging the peace that exists in each moment brings peaceful moments to your life. Seeing the love already present in your life now brings more love to enjoy. Knowing you have prosperity brings more abundance to you. Can't you see? You hold the key. You and only you. Believe it. Take it. Reach out and take it. Not because of what you will get and not to control the future, but because it feels better. It feels good to feel good, and you have a choice. This feeling needs to be a visceral, experiential, authentic feeling. Intellectualizing won't cut it. It falls short. It is too abstract. It is not believable. And here's the kicker. When you are happy in the present moment, just as it is, you release the conditions you previously felt had to be in place before you could be happy. Now all of the wonderful things you once had at arm's length flow to you effortlessly. And if they do not appear in the exact form or at the exact time once you thought they should, it won't matter. You know they do not determine your happiness. You trust the flow. Pure appreciation, pure joy, and pure freedom. How simple and how perfect. Can't you see? So yeah, there's a lot to be said for just being in the moment, and more with all the distractions, all the notifications, all the everything. It's harder and harder and harder. That's why for a lot of people, it's hard for them to get into a meditation habit, because their mind is constantly like flickering at like a very high rate, which really isn't the way things are supposed to be. Especially people really didn't live at that high flicker rate, almost like how the Talmud vision has this high flicker rate. It's not a natural rate for us to be at, but people are being induced into this because of just the modern society, modern Zog society, modern industrial society. I mean, there is life outside of the computer. I know it kind of sounds like hard to believe sometimes, but there's a whole other life that's outside of this that most people are just not aware of, I guess. It's sadder for the youngsters sometimes who are growing up around all of this and not really getting the same chance maybe that some of us got a little bit older. But yeah, it's easier said than done, but the practice of being here now can be channeled through doing stuff like meditating, taking that time out. Even 10 minutes a day could make a difference for how the whole day flows. And especially now with all the crud that's going on, I mean, all the psyops just coming at us as fast as you could possibly, you know, see. It's just a constant churning meal of psyop after psyop after psyop, or just demoralizing stories, fake articles to trigger people and enrage them. I mean, it's all over because they're looking to get some type of response. And remember, when you look at something on your device and you get a response, that response is recorded, right? So it's all a trigger to kind of like, it's like they baited a trap with something that you wanted, like a cashew or a piece of cheese, you know, and then you went in there and you're like, oh, okay, I got it. But then it comes with a price, right? And there's so much of that. I think it's easy to get caught up in it, especially if people are lonely and they're at home and they feel isolated, especially if they feel intellectually isolated. That's probably one of the worst ways to feel isolated. You could feel like you're around people physically, but if you feel intellectually isolated, that could really be very much of a suffering feeling. That's really a hard one, to be isolated on an intellectual level. But I mean, when you walk out in public, it's kind of hard to really mesh up with a lot of people. I mean, I still see people all over the place wearing the costume, you know. It's like, maybe they just figure like this is what you're supposed to do to be like a good person. I don't really know like what the psychology of it is. Who really cares? But I mean, I guess it does really matter because there has to be a pushback at some point with all of this. Or if there's not going to be a pushback, there has to just be a bridge that's burned in a certain way, a bridge that's burned with, you know, what this culture is and what it has become, and just turning our backs on it in some way, maybe not existing 100% out of the industrial society, at least not yet, but turning our backs on it as opposed to allowing it to whittle away at us, right? I mean, because by now, I think if you know, you can kind of see when a new story comes out, you're like, oh, it's just a psyop. Like when this whole variant crap came out, I knew right away, I was like, oh, please, like it's more KT, you know, it's more kosher theater, you know, more political theater. Like it goes on and on and on. So if we be here now and we change our perspective and we burn the bridge of what we thought industrial society could offer to us, then we're setting ourselves free and giving ourselves more mental and physical and emotional time to really work on ourselves and prepare ourselves for the future. Who really exactly knows what the future holds? But we do have control over if we want to grow food, you know, if we want to do more stuff that takes us off grid, you know, if we want to take some preparations in regards to procuring certain things. Like, we have these choices, right? We don't have to keep our nose glued to the Zog grindstone and see every disgusting story, you know, one after another. Like, we can burn our bridges with that. So speaking of that phrase, which I've already used a couple of times, I want to play this Terrence McKenna clip that's titled Burning Our Bridges, and how it kind of, it's an interesting way of looking at what is going on in the world today. It's kind of a different perception or perspective than I guess a lot of things that I've seen thus far. And of course, he's not talking about Oyed AI. He died back in, gosh, when did he die? Was it 2000 or something? He was born in 46, I think, in November. I think he's a double Scorpio. But I think he died right around Y2K-ish. Okay, April 3rd, 2000. So yeah, he died quite some time ago. So of course, this clip is not about Oyed AI, but whilst I was listening to it, that's what I was thinking of, because that's where we're at right now. So here is this Terrence McKenna clip I'm not sure what year this was. I would assume this was sometime in the 90s. So here it is, Burning Our Bridges.
Because we're driving the historical vehicle with a rearview mirror, it appears to us that we're headed straight into a brick wall at 1,000 miles an hour. It appears that we are destroying the earth, polluting the atmosphere, wrecking the oceans, dehumanizing ourselves, robbing our children of a future, so forth and so on. I believe what is in fact going on is that we are burning our bridges one by one. We're burning our bridges to the past. We cannot go back to the mushroom-dotted plains of Africa or the canopied rainforests of 5 million years ago. We can't even go back to the era of cayuse and six-shooter of 200 years ago. We have burned our bridges. We are preparing for a kind of cultural forward escape. And this question, you know, is there cause for optimism? The answer is it depends on where you placed your bets. You know, if you placed your bets on male-dominated institutions based on consumer fetishism, propaganda, classism, and materialism, then God help you, you should call your broker. If, on the other hand, you've recognized that a lifeboat strategy is involved here, that what is really important is empowering personal experience, backing off from consumer object fetishism, freeing the mind, empowering the imagination, then in that case, I think you can feel pretty good about what is going on. You know, there's a lot of talk about cultural death and disenfranchisement, and it's usually couched in terms of some happy naked people in the rainforest or in Tajikistan making their rugs or milking their camels or something. And isn't it too bad that their culture is being blown up and traded in for mall culture and shopping by remote? But in fact, all culture is being destroyed. All culture is being sold down the river by the sorts of people who want to turn the entire planet into an international airport arrival concourse. And that's not the victory of somebody's culture over somebody else's culture. Nobody ever had a culture like that. That's just the victory of schlockmeisterism and crapola over good taste and good sense. Well, if I were dependent on the notion that human institutions are necessary to pull us out of the ditch, I would be very despairing. As I said, nobody's in charge, not the IMF, the Pope, the Communist Party, the Jews. No, no, no. Nobody has their finger on what's going on. So then why hope? Isn't it just a runaway train out of control? I don't think so. I think the out-of-controlness is the most hopeful thing about it. After all, whose control is it out of? You and I never controlled it in the first place. Why are we anxious about the fact that it's out of control? I think if it's out of control, then our side is winning.
So interesting take right there in regards to that, the whole control thing and who's not in control. But interesting way to look at it, because then you don't feel like you're dependent on what happens and you have to do this and you have to do that. And it almost frees you.
Hey everyone, welcome to Forward.
Sorry about that. It almost frees you from a responsibility of the ship going down in a certain way. So if you focus on the now, and not on the ship going down, you can reserve and conserve more of your time for building yourself up while this shit just hits the fan. It's been hitting the fan our whole lives, right? I think oftentimes what Yost Turner said makes the most amount of sense, just destroy it by not participating. Of course, you have to speak out about what's happening, but that's a form of destroying it, as opposed to just sitting on the edge of your chair and just saying, what's going to happen next? You know, like that's a waste of energy. And I wonder who would be hoovering that type of energy, right? Remember, they're always going to be hoovering energy, especially fear energy or anxious energy. They hoover all of that energy. So interesting clip right there. Always interesting to ponder these questions and just kind of a different way, you know, because oftentimes we're taught to think about things in a way that, I don't know, is just maybe more of a linear way of thinking about things and less of a spiral or a psychedelic type of way of thinking about it. So it's interesting to think about things in a totally different way and then reflect on that differently and maybe make different decisions based on that. Because oftentimes in some of these movements, if you will, it's like people are taught to just think in a very rigid way. And I don't think that's going to behoove us in any regard, especially as we move into very uncharted times, very antagonistic and inflammatory times, a time of real idiocracy, essentially really a dark age. I mean, people actually are covering their mouths with some type of device because they think that there's this virus, a solvent, a soap on the loose. I mean, if it wasn't so serious, it would be laughable. But it is serious because it's ramping up in a lot of parts of the world. But as opposed to, like I just said, sitting on the edge of one's seat with anxiety, watching the ship go down, what about being here now? What about taking precautions for the future whilst being here now? Wouldn't that be the best way to be utilizing our time? I would think so, right? And I think one of the greatest ways to kind of get into that flow of doing that is engaging in sort of meditative or yoga practice, which is very, I think it's very grounding. And of course, there's a lot of stuff out there that they promote in this milieu, which is probably best avoided. But I think one of the best things that can really just get you there and really give you an edge, I would say, and also make your aura stronger, is something like Kundalini yoga and meditation. This will really strengthen you, and it's totally free. You don't need any fancy equipment. You just need like a regular yoga mat or even a comfortable carpeted floor or something like that. You can wear whatever you fancy. You don't have to wear all white and do all that if you don't want to, although you can too. But this is a very great practice which will help with stress relief. And of course, we're all living in some type of stress because of Wi-Fi and just Zog fog, you name it. So it will help you with that. It gives you better cognitive function. It gives you greater awareness of your body. And one of the agendas right now is to ruin your cognitive function, disembody you from your body. It also helps improve concentration. It also strengthens the nervous system. Remember, taking in all of this fear porn, sitting on the edge of our seat, not being here now, that is not very good for our nervous system, nor is that very good for our blood sugar or our hormones or our neurotransmitters, sleep, sex, etc. And also increases mindfulness. We talked a little bit about mindfulness last week in the show. It's basically being here now. It's smelling the rose, right? It's you know, basically falling into the perfume of the rose as opposed to whipping out your phone and saying, I'm going to take a picture of this and post it on antisocial media without ever smelling the rose, without ever touching it. I mean, you really didn't do anything. All you did was record it. You didn't really do it, you know? And that's oftentimes we think if something is recorded, it's actually happened. But like you could take a picture of a rose and never touch the petals and never smell it and then pass it off as an experience via antisocial media. So we can't always believe what we see. And if you do something like Kundalini meditation, it'll deepen your intuition to things too. And like I said, it will keep your aura strong, which I think is really important. I think there's a lot of things out there, from things we can put inside our body to messages that are out there that can give us kind of like a Swiss cheese type aura, which we don't want, because then the Skeksis can get their energy on us or in us, and that is not good. Anyone who's gotten this OIDAI vaccination or believes in the PSYOP obviously has a compromised aura and is disembodied, which is unfortunate. So Kundalini yoga is a great practice. It's considered the mother of all yoga. The word Kundalini in Sanskrit means coiled snake. It refers to that every person has a divine energy at the base of the spine. And this meditation seeks to awaken, release, and harness this energy. And this energy, of course, is antagonistic to monotheistic, misogynistic religions like Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. Remember in the Garden of Eden, the snake is on its side. That's the Kundalini snake. They don't want you to be empowered, right? Remember eating the fruit from the tree of knowledge. They don't want you to be empowered. They don't want you to become a god. The whole Christianity monotheistic pogrom is to basically shrivel up into this weak little sinful thing that is useless, that God can mop the floor with, when in the Eastern or Vedic or Aryan traditions, it's about being perfect and that you yourself are a god. So what do you want? Do you want to be a useless or filthy rag? Or do you want to be a god or a goddess? You know, it's your choice. And every day we make choices that will influence this, right? And of course, Zog wants us to just be a bunch of filthy rags, but don't give them the pleasure of that. Don't give away your energy, your aura, any of it. Always conserve it for yourself. So that was a little bit about Kundalini yoga a while ago, like a long, long time ago. I've done shows more about this. I even did a show a long time ago where I actually did like a spinal meditation. Of course, it wasn't audio. It wasn't a video, but still, nevertheless, you can follow along with it. And what are some of the other benefits if you're like, oh, I'm on the fence, tell me some more. Aiding in concentration and preventing random thoughts that throw you off balance. Oftentimes people get these intruding thoughts, so this can help with intrusive thoughts. Of course, getting your diet good and getting your gut health good could also help with intrusive thoughts, or also doing some relief of maybe processing through the trauma that would be giving you the random thoughts in the first place. Breaking your automatic daily routines and bringing you into a state of mindfulness, very important. Bringing balance to the mind, body, and soul. We live in such an imbalanced world and such an imbalanced time. Building up your creative energy to tackle projects in your life. Creating awareness, enhancing brain patterns and emotional balance, very necessary. Reducing anxiety, releasing stress, and finding a semblance of or sense of peace. Improving cognition, helping for sleep, and teaching a proper way to breathe. A lot of people are not breathing properly, especially with this costume. People are breathing in more of a shallow manner than ever before since the OIDAI chat feedback, since the costume. The costume is even making their breathing more shallow. Very, very unfortunate. And it's going to permanently mess their face up. People already have facial issues and dental issues because they are not breathing correctly. But this is going to get even more exacerbated by wearing that darn costume, especially in youngsters whose faces are still developing. But of course, it just means more money for Big Zog. They can, just charge parents all this money for all these, fancy orthodonture treatments, which isn't even really a good thing, orthodonture. There's something called orthotropics, which actually will give you a much nicer result. There was a show, I think, a while ago where I talked about this. It was two twins from the UK, and they both had one had orthodonture and one had orthotropics, and the one who had orthotropics was more handsome. He had a more handsome face as an adult based on this treatment as opposed to the Zog one of orthodontics. So yeah, Kundalini yoga is really groovy. Oftentimes I'll post stuff about it on Telegram, and some people who don't like that type of stuff will say, this isn't white, this isn't Aryan, why are you posting this stuff here? But I realize that they don't know anything and they're just working off of what they do know. And I guess they're thinking, oh, that's just some dothead stuff, and they have no idea. I noticed that a lot of people on that platform have no idea what's going on with anything at all. I guess maybe it made me think that less people are aware. I mean, it seems that whenever I mention stuff about Kundalini or what else, I'm trying to think. If I mention stuff about misogyny, that doesn't go over well either. So I guess that there's really just a lot that people just haven't seen yet. I don't know, maybe they haven't made it past a certain amount of information where they've actually gotten to the point to realize that this isn't some dothead shit and that there is misogyny happening. And a lot of times these movements are promoting misogyny too, which is just, I mean, how are we going to make any progress with any of this stuff for, you know, the preservation of our race if we don't respect each other? Like, how are we going to make any progress? Like, we're not. And if we're going about it in that way, we're no better than someone who promotes one of these sand fairy religions, you know? Think about it. I mean, it's just, it's all over the place. I don't even know if people are cognizant of it because it's so deeply woven into society. It's almost like it's like part of the fabric. Remember, this society, burn bridges with it. It's not your friend. Culture is not your friend. If you thought at one point in your life that this society had something to offer you, well, that was a ruse and that was a lie. It has nothing to offer. It's been a ruse and a lie our entire lives. And if you keep on believing in it and thinking that it has something to offer, you'll be stuck in that mindset and you won't be in the now age. It's withering anyway. So if you want to be part of the now age and not caught up in any of the psyops or fall into another part of this society, because we are having this kind of two-tier society coming about, it seems pretty clear, some type of caste system, if you will. Not really the type of caste system that I'm really into. I'd be into more of a different caste system than the one that they're kind of promoting. But I guess if there's going to be a two-tiered society, there's going to be a caste system on the outside, you know, on the outskirts of the industrial society. There'll also be a society that I guess doesn't have to follow their version of caste, their version of hierarchy. So that'll be interesting to see. But yeah, it's disappointing, especially at this late in the game, to see so many people just not really comprehending the issues, you know, and not comprehending what we should be focusing on. This is a serious matter, very serious matter. It's very serious for everybody. But this, of course, is a white broadcast and stuff like that. But this is a very serious matter with what they're doing. And there's psyop after psyop to get people away from the real thing. But it's really going to take people changing their, I guess, changing their consciousness. I know it sounds kind of like a new age thing to say, but I think it's more of a now age thing. I mean, like, think about it. People who believe in the psyop, they're on a completely different conscious level, right, than people who don't. So to level up in this game of racialism, it's going to require deprogramming ourselves from some of these psyops that still exist, that still permeate, you know, whatever supposed movement. I mean, I don't even think there is a movement anymore. I don't even really know. I don't want to be part, like I said last week, of any movement. I don't want to be boxed into any movement because it's more than just about that. Like, the movement, whatever it was, has almost become like a meme, right? It's become like a meme and it's a psyop, essentially. So I don't want to be part of anything that's a meme or a psyop. I want to be part of something that's flesh and bone and blood and real, right? Not any of this fake stuff. There's so much fakery out there. It's ridiculous. I see it all over the place. All over the place. So I'm just scrolling through the Talmud Gram, seeing if there's anything worthwhile to mention. Of course, in regards to Kundalini Yoga, I've mentioned her again, or mentioned her before, I'll mention her again. Kamila Yoga on YouTube, Kimilla. Great yoga videos, all totally free. So like I said, you don't have to have any type of financial provisions to be able to engage in this practice. And try it. See if you like it. Maybe it'll pull you away more from the screen. Who knows, right? But it's definitely important to have something to strengthen ourselves. Like, we can lift weights like 24/7. Well, that really wouldn't be good, but we could lift weights and do all the stuff to prepare ourselves physically, you know, learn how to use firearms, do all of this. But are we spiritually prepared? That's a question, right? And if we're maybe doing a meditative practice, people are going to be better prepared in a spiritual sense, right? Think about it. There's a lot of ways to prepare, and every way has its own pros. But of course, this way is not something that I see talked about that often. So that's why it's something that I like to bring up and I like to talk about, because I think it's important. That's what I've actually been doing is preparing in more ways. That's why I haven't been doing as many shows, and that's why I'm doing these pre-records now. I'm planning for the new phase of the PSYOP, and I suggest everyone else do that too. We can't flounder. We can't falter. It's the time is of the essence. This is the now age. So very important to make sure that you've got your stuff set, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I wonder, like what's the winter going to be like? I mean, I think they might be doing some more food shortages type of stuff. I mean, I was even today at the store. I was at Trader Joe's, and I noticed that they're were some shortages of certain things, and didn't see a little bit of that. I guess I saw last week when I was there, but I mean, I think if anything, we're going to see these shortages more at the grocery stores, and it's going to be more like in regional pockets as opposed to seeing it across the board, or maybe seeing it through, you know, smaller companies and smaller farms. I think it's going to be more of the bigger companies. And of course, that could be created, like anything else could be created. So that's always a possibility too, that it's actually being created. Like, well, the entire demolition is basically a controlled demolition, but that's always how it's done. Because remember, if it was like, if there was literally something in the air that was a microdust that was going to really harm people, well, then there'd be bodies all over the place, right? So, I mean, they're not going to shut down the internet 100%. They're not going to, they have to make it work for themselves in a certain sense. They're not going to deprive themselves of it, obviously. But still, I think it's important to be aware of these things as time goes on. I mean, the winter, maybe there's going to be another variant, right? They have all those ideas for all those other Greek variants. They might even use the constellations. So I don't know. I haven't been looking at it too much. I've been posting a few memes here and there, but I found the kosher theater to just kind of be exhausting at this point. It's the same stuff. And yeah, maybe some of it is unlaughable on a certain level, but is it even worth looking at? Like, could you be spending the time doing something like meditating instead, or making something tasty in the kitchen, or, you know, working on some other type of activism, right? There's other types of activism to do besides just posting stuff online or doing a broadcast. There's always putting out flyers. That's a great way to do activism. There's so many ways that one could be doing something as the agenda progresses, because it does seem like it's rolling like a snowball. So here's something that was actually on Talmudgram that I thought was important to share a little bit more, just about this whole germ theory thing. Of course, this has been covered ad nauseum on the broadcast, but it's always important to cover it again, because our thinking oftentimes is that germs cause disease, because we're born into thinking these things. That's why a lot of times a lot of thinking seems to be misogynistic, because it's part of that XDNity that we're all, most of us are born into, right? It's like that taint that we're born into, but it could always be removed and scrubbed out, right? So here is a bit about more debunking and debasing as well of this ridiculous anti-German germ theory. The idea that there is just one cause of sickness is a fallacy perpetuated by the pharmaceutical industry to sell medicine. One germ, one disease, one vaccination. The reality is more complex. Health is a composite of a number of factors, including diet, environment, social contact, and other things. Quote, immunity. Here's a bit for everyone who, remember those people, I don't know if anyone knows, on Facebook. After they got vaccinated, they were like posting this like thing with like a circle around it saying they got vaccinated. And then other people were posting the same thing, but like a different one saying, I have an immune system. But like, that's really just shilling for germ theory without realizing it. It's like the kind of people who would be promoting like the whole shedding thing. Anyway, quote, immunity is just another excuse when the germ theory doesn't hold true in every single case, which is why it is still just a theory. There is no war inside our bodies. Okay, this whole warlike thing is so obviously Talmudic, and it's so obviously what they do, right? Everything, war on everything, war for drugs, you know, war. They have a warlike mentality. So there's no war inside of our bodies. This warlike mentality is another way to keep us believing that we are at war with the germs. Like right now we're at war with the virus, right? If we believe to be at war with germs, then we believe we are at war with nature and ourselves. And yeah, it is, because these things, these germs, you know, whatever you want to call a germ, like bacteria, fungus, parasite, virus, these are part of nature, right? They're part of us. We manufacture them when we come in contact with something we adapt to. So if we're at war with, quote, germs, we're at war with nature and ourselves. And when we're at war with ourselves, how can we be here now? We're going to be completely disembodied. It's very, very dangerous. This is a very, very dangerous way of thinking that has perverted our minds to essentially kill ourselves and our loved ones. And yet anyone who believes this is spiritually perverted. I think that's probably the best way to sum it up. And their aura is probably damaged. It's really just a play on words that marketers drummed up to keep people in a perpetual state of confusion and dis-ease. What we have should really just be called a support system or a defense system. Our cells surround the offending toxins and escort them out of the body. There is no killing of any kind. It is far more peaceful than the media has duped us to believe. So they want us to think this whole war is going on in the body, and that's just part of this ridiculous, redonkulous Talmudic germ theory. I believe it is absolutely crucial to spread facts that, quote, viruses do not exist, and that illnesses caused by toxicity from, amongst other sources, vaccinations and pills, EMFs, microwaves, pollution, etc., and the fact that vaccinations do not present illness, they cause them. This is the truthful narrative. And of course, this is something I've been saying for the longest of the long time. And oftentimes when you tell someone that, quote, viruses don't exist, that's really hard for them to, you know, really grasp that. You know, it's almost like telling them like some God doesn't exist. It's really as intense as that. So what's better oftentimes is to tell them that a virus is a solvent that the body manufactures as an adaptation to support or, you know, to support itself after, you know, maybe it got in contact with a toxin or something. That's why I go that far to say that, because just saying viruses don't exist, I think it leaves a hole in the puzzle for people and they don't get it. Why would anyone want to have any vaccines for viruses that don't exist? Well, they don't. Okay, here's the thing. They don't exist in the way that they're harmful. That's okay to say, and that's actually accurate. But you have to still, I think, fill that hole for a lot of people and tell them actually what these little things, these microbes are actually doing in the body, that they're friendly and that they proliferate in a time of adaptation to help you detox. Blaming, you know, all these microbes for dis-ease is like blaming firemen for putting out a fire, right? Because they show up at the scene once something has happened, right? And they get the association that they were the perpetrators, which is incorrect. So this is the truthful narrative that vaccines and all these things that Big Zog promotes, these cause illnesses, not, quote, viruses, but they tell you it's a virus so they can poison you with these things. It's a huge con job, and so many people have fallen for it. It's a shame. It's an awful shame. Why would anyone want to have any vaccines for viruses that don't exist? Vaccines contain toxins that lead to further relabeled symptoms of detox, right? So basically now your body is trying to detox that shit out, and then they tell you, oh, you have so-and-so. You have this dis-ease. They give you this diagnosis. Meanwhile, what you're doing is you're detoxing. The symptoms are detox. Of course, vaccinations contain aluminum. They don't call the resulting illness aluminum poisoning. They call it Alzheimer's, and they can medicate it further. And they can sell you this Big Zog drug for $56,000 a year, tell you to eat a heart-healthy diet full of polyunsaturated fats, right? It's a pogrom. It's a lifetime pogrom. And when you're not here now, you're able to fall for any of the Skeksis shenanigans. Anyone ever claim to have a, quote, virus never proven to exist is either a victim of, at best, incompetency, and at worst, criminal misdiagnosis. So that's the real deal. That's how it works. I know I've talked about this probably in over 100 shows, I would think, at this point. But nevertheless, exceedingly important to basically hammer into our brains, because there's still so much conflicting information out there, right? And especially now with this Oyed AI vaccination, which is a bit of a step up and up in a negative connotation, not a positive one. It's a step up from all the other ones they've given people throughout millennia. And with this one, because of the technology, what happens is that when the body is manufacturing these viruses as an adaptive mechanism to deal with, you know, a change in a environment, this new vaccination will wipe out the detox system. So there your body is. Your body is smart. It's beautiful. It's not sinned. It's perfect. It's doing what it's supposed to do. It's come in contact with a toxin. It's producing these solvents to deal with the toxin. And then what does this Zog vaccination do? It knocks out the solvent. But of course, if anyone believes in germ theory and they're a retardate, they say, oh, fantastic, fantastic. I'll never have to worry about a virus ever again, when the viruses are proliferating in the first place to basically help you detox. That's how it works. So viruses don't exist in the connotation that they're wafting through the air, but they do exist in the connotation as being a detox solvent. So this mRNA vaccination is going to not let people go through that viral detox. That means cancer, right? Remember I mentioned on a show, I believe it was last week, about how a viral detox can dissolve a cancer tumor. So if the body can't go through that adaptive mechanism of a viral detox, there's going to be cancer like you've never seen it before. And they're going to tether these people 100% completely to Big Zog. Of course, the other things people are dealing with, they're feeling like they're not the same. I've heard from someone who knows a lot of people who have gotten the Big Z shot, and they've said, I haven't felt the same. So it's not just on a physical level, it's on a spiritual level that this is affecting people. Crazy stuff, really, really crazy stuff. And of course, I don't think anyone here is going to be tempted, shall I say, to get it. And that's, you know, obviously, I'm just kidding using the word tempted, but we probably have family, probably you listening right now, you probably have family or friends or know somebody who's done this. So this is important information just for us to know as we go forward in this world, right? As we navigate this world, you know, I mean, we're going to be pulling away, many of us, in this, from this world, and living in a way that a lot of other people are not going to be living in a way that might be seen as inflammatory to some other people. Of course, that's their perception, but these people they've been hijacked. They're Zogbots, essentially, anyone who's got it. It's sad. It's always sad when you hear someone who, like, you've known for, like, a really long time, and then they get it, and you're just like, you know, it's like, you feel like part of you, like, loses them. At least that's how I've been feeling with it. You just kind of feel like you lost them. And in a way, I guess you did, as sad as it is, but I mean, in a war, and this is a psy war, in a war, there's always loss. It may not be physical loss. It may be emotional or spiritual loss, but there's always going to be loss. And that's why we have to keep ourselves as fortified as possible. Do yoga, you know, do your kundalini, eat well, breathe deep, stay aware, keep yourself as clean and sober as you can. I mean, just do what's the best for you. If you're optimizing yourself, it's going to be optimizing for your race. It's a ripple effect, right? I mean, I don't think that oftentimes we think about that. You know, maybe we can think about that stupid Zog slogan, we're all in this together. Let's apply it to racialism. Let's think about how, if we're all in this together, how much more powerful would we be as a race if we were all meditating, if we were all eating well, if we were all, you know, keeping ourselves, you know, constantly in a mode of, like, detox and not abusing our bodies with substance and just working out and, like, you know, sleeping and, you know, all these things. What if we were doing all of these things? Like, wouldn't we have, like, more collective spiritual power? I think so. And maybe people are saying, you know, shut up, that's just some new age crap. But these are the kind of people who just spend their time online laughing at gas memes. Like, that's over. That was 2016. Like, that's over. The time for that is over. This is the now age. This is time for the Aryan optimization. This is time for the upgrade. So I think I'll leave it at that for this week's broadcast. A little shortish. I think I'm going to probably be, like I said, doing shows more around this type of, you know, time length. Seems to work for me better. Of course, you'll still be getting the content and still be able to connect with me this way. And that's all I have to say. I think I'm going to get dinner started in a bit. I think I'm going to have a steak this evening. I haven't had a good steak in a while, so I'm actually having a good steak this evening. Of course, with the other stuff, I'm not just going to eat the steak alone. That's ridiculous. I'm going to have sides. I'm going to probably have some zucchini from the garden and maybe some potatoes from the garden on the side with the steak. Probably something like that. Maybe some wine too. We'll see. Who knows? But as usual, I wish everyone an amazing day wherever they are in this world. Do something good for yourself. Remember, the good things you do for yourself are good things for your race, and the bad things you do for yourself are bad things for your race. So always think about ways that you can make that ripple effect every single day. It's always important. Okay, Sat Nam, everybody.